Our next presenter is Jerry Weiland.
Good morning and aloha. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm Jerry Weiland. I'm a research plant pathologist with a specialization on nursery crops and small fruits. I'm in Corvallis, Oregon, so all the research that I'm presenting today is from Oregon. As a research plant pathologist, I want to let you know I do have a horticultural background, so as much as I love this rainbow of death and destruction, I also do love healthy plants, and it's my goal to make sure that those plants remain healthy, and that's what I'm working on today. As with all my research, I didn't do this alone. This was done in collaboration with Dr. Skagel and Jesse Mitchell in her lab. They're plant physiologists. They helped a lot with experimental design, setup and analysis. Ann Davis and Brian Beck are technicians in my lab. They work on soil-borne pathogens. And we also worked with the Nick Grunwald lab and Val Feland, his technician. They made sure that the Phytophthora species that we had were correctly identified. And our funding came from several sources: the Floral Nursery Research Initiative, the Horticultural Research Institute, and, of course, USDA ARS. Rhododendrons are primarily grown for their flowers. They're ornamental broadleaf evergreens. They're very popular in the nursery industry, primarily temperate species, but there are some semi-tropical and tropical species. In addition to their flowers, they are also grown for their foliage. Some of them have very interesting, here's the mouse. Some of them have some very interesting hairs and different colors on the leaves. They can be very beautiful and provide additional interest throughout the year. The industry itself is about $42.2 million in the United States. About a quarter of that is produced in the Pacific Northwest, primarily from Oregon and Washington. One of the big challenges in nursery production of these plants is Phytophthora root rot. This is caused by a number of soil-borne Phytophthora species. The name Phytophthora itself means plant destroyer, and they are oomycetes. So as much as they look like fungi, they're actually related to algae. And I have to put in some pictures of what they look like. They are microscopic. They produce oospores, that's this thick-walled structure here, and chlamydospores, which is also thick-walled. These allow them to persist in the soil for many years, makes them resistant to the environment. They're really, really great pathogens at surviving. Also, as oomycetes, I mentioned they're related to algae, water is incredibly important to their life cycle. So the more water, the better. They love free water, and when there is free water, they produce sporangia, shown here, and those really produce zoospores, which are swimming motile spores that swim out of the sporangia and are attracted to root hairs by root exudates, and that's where infection occurs. So why is Phytophthora important? At high inoculum levels, as the name implies, plant destroyer, there's death and destruction everywhere. Growers cannot sell a plant that's half dead, that's wilting, or completely dead, or chlorotic. These are direct losses. At low levels in the soil, there can be a productivity loss. So these plants on the right are about 30 to 45 centimeters in height, and they're the same as these rhododendrons here, which are about 10 centimeters in height. And that's probably a low inoculum level. And so while they may not necessarily cause death, there can be some production issues. This is also a national and international trade issue. And to highlight this, there was a 2014 University of Maryland study. They assessed nursery plants coming into Maryland from the West Coast, so California, Washington, and Oregon. They focused on Phytophthora and a related Ericaceous pieris. And what they found is 39% of the incoming plants, they detected Phytophthora. This is a big deal. States don't want to be importing Phytophthora. They don't want to be importing these pathogens. It's definitely a big deal internationally. I'm sure many of you have heard of sudden oak death. That is a pathogen that was spread through the nursery industry. And this has big consequences. So what we wanted to do is get a handle of what are the Phytophthora species occurring in the Oregon rhododendron industry. And we started out by sampling 5 nurseries. We've actually sampled 7 nurseries as of this year, but don't have results on identification from them yet. From 4 of those nurseries, one of our most common Phytophthora species was Phytophthora cinnamomi, and another common species was Pluribra. Give you an idea of some of the damage. Here's a spot with about 80% mortality and infection. Here's about 20% in a container production, and there are a lot of symptoms. So it's out there. And that's not to say there aren't nurseries where it's hard to find disease, but this is what's there, and as a nursery person, we need to get a handle on this. So what we wanted to do, we have those 2 main Phytophthora species, but most of the research in rhododendron has focused on Phytophthora cinnamomi. We really know very little about the ability of Phytophthora pluribra to cause disease and how to control it. Almost all the information on controlling it has been limited to cinnamomi. And so what we did, this is just a brief study that was conducted earlier, we did a randomized complete block design that was repeated 3 times, 5 reps or 5 blocks. And we took 3 isolates of Phytophthora cinnamomi, 3 isolates of pluribra. There was 1 isolate from each nursery. We're trying to get a handle on whether there's geographic variability in isolates to cause disease or nursery to nursery variability. And we inoculated those on a susceptible and a resistant cultivar of rhododendron, Cunningham's White and Yaku Princess. Big take-home message here before we get to the fungicide study is that really there was no difference in the ability of cinnamomi and pluribra to cause disease. They killed just as many plants. There was no isolate-to-isolate variation, so each isolate was just as likely as the next to cause disease. And on the susceptible and resistant cultivar, eventually both cultivars were killed to the same degree. It just took longer to kill the resistant cultivar. So that gets us to our fungicide study. This was a randomized block design, 10 replicates. This was also repeated 3 times. We're in the process of harvesting and collecting data off from that 3rd trial right now. Based on the previous results, we decided to focus on just a single isolate each of Phytophthora cinnamomi and Phytophthora pluribra. And we used 2 fungicides, mefenoxam, which is the active ingredient of products such as Ritimal Gold and Subdue Max. And we also use phosphorus acid, which is in many products like Allude and Agrifos. Both of these are systemic, but mefenoxam is xylem mobile, whereas the phosphorus acid can be mobile in both. We used 2 application methods, a soil drench and a foliar. And again, our thought here in doing that, or our hypothesis, was that soil drenches are probably going to be more effective, but we do see growers applying these as foliar products because, it's systemic. It should go to the roots. But we wanted to test that directly. We have some no fungicide and non-inoculated controls also included in this experiment. One additional thing I wanted to mention about the fungicides before we move on is both of these are also directly toxic to the pathogen. We've tested them in petri plates against the pathogens. They do have an effect in limiting growth. They do not kill the pathogen when applied according to the label. They are fungistatic, not fungitoxic. And finally, phosphorus acid is also thought to stimulate crop defense. So if we look at plant biomass, this is dry weight. Plant biomass is on the y-axis by our different treatments. What we see is the non-inoculated plants, as expected, have the greatest biomass. Our inoculated plants with no fungicides were at about 3 grams, so about a 60% loss in biomass. Our 2 best treatments were the phosphorus acid soil drench and the mefenoxam soil drench. This is all with Phytophthora cinnamomi, and that was as expected. Our 2 least effective fungicide treatments were the foliar ones, as expected. I'm just showing data here for trial 1. We don't have the data yet from trial 3, but trial 2 was very similar. So to repeat, for Phytophthora cinnamomi, the soil drenches of both fungicides worked pretty well for biomass. Slightly different story for Phytophthora pleura. Again, the non-inoculated was the greatest. Wasn't quite significantly different from the phosphorus acid drench and foliar. But when you look at the no fungicide, none of the fungicide treatments were significantly different. None of them. And this is held up in trial 2. It looks like it's holding up in trial 3. I love actually seeing death and destruction. So if we look at the roots where the root rot is occurring, here's the non-inoculated control, and we look at Phytophthora cinnamomum on this top row, we see that the soil drenches, while the roots aren't quite as nice and quite as vigorous as the non-inoculated controls, at least they're alive, where you look at almost complete rot in the no fungicide and the two foliar treatments. For Phytophthora pleurivora on this lower line, it looks like the no fungicide and methanoxam foliar were effective and that we got complete rot here. But when you go from block to block to block, you see complete rot. There is basically no effect. So you can have complete rot with methanoxam foliar and no fungicide as well. It's just very variable there. Finally, if we look at mortality, which is my favorite measure of disease, what we see is that the no fungicide, we have near 100% mortality for Phytophthora cinnamomum. This is an average of all three trials because we just got in our third trial mortality. The non-inoculated controls, absolutely no mortality. But what we see is that the foliar applications of both fungicides are really close to not having any fungicide treatment at all, whereas the two soil drenches have lowered mortality significantly. Compare that to Phytophthora pleurivora. We have our non-inoculated control at the bottom, but all of the treatments are causing almost exactly the same amount of mortality as the inoculated no fungicide control. And I'm sure you saw, and I forgot to mention, this was conducted over 14 weeks for all three trials. So my main conclusions here is that pathogen species identity appears to matter. What works for cinnamomum may not necessarily work for pleurivora. We are gradually entering that age where we are able to test and see what pathogens are there. We're starting to work on different diagnostic techniques that will help growers figure out what's there. Drench worked better than foliar for cinnamomum, didn't matter which fungicide, but none of the treatments worked for Phytophthora pleurivora. That said, we've only used a single isolate in these fungicide trials, so our next step is to make sure that we didn't by chance happen to pick a Phytophthora pleurivora isolate that is resistant to all these fungicides. So we're looking at our isolate collection and we're pulling out Phytophthora pleurivora and Phytophthora cinnamomum from a number of nurseries. We're making sure that this isn't just a random isolate that we picked up that is highly resistant. We're also looking at cultural control practices. Carolyn Skagel has her poster on looking at irrigation effects on disease development by these two pathogens. I encourage you to go see that. I have a graduate student, Angie Mestis, who just started looking at whether there's an effect of nutrition on disease development. And finally, Nick Grunwald and Zachary Foster are also assessing soil microbial communities. They're doing metagenomics just to see what else is in the soil of these plants, both infected and healthy. And they're also looking for cultivar effects. Does that microbial community differ depending on cultivar, differ depending on nursery? And that gives you an idea of where our research is going on rhododendron. And so to reiterate, I really do love seeing this rainbow of death and wilt and chlorosis, but the heart of me, where I started out, is in horticulture, and I also love seeing these healthy plants, and I hope to get us towards that goal, and we need to look at pathogen diversity to more effectively manage that. Thank you. Any questions? Oh, a whole bunch at once. I'm going to start at left. The question was, did I survey both container and field nurseries? We actually surveyed three production types: propagation, when the cuttings are first stuck, then container nurseries, and field nurseries. So far, the results look like diversity of the pathogens recovered increases as you get towards the field, and it's least in propagation, and containers somewhere in between, but that doesn't always hold true.
We have to cut off.
Okay, so see me later. Thank you, everybody.